Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to approach the throne room of your word. We thank you so much for your bread from heaven. We know what it cost you to leave us this testimony. And Father, we will give it honor and respect where it's due. And Father, if we want to truly honor you, we'll honor your word. Because you and your word are one. You said that you would even pass away before your word would. That shows how your word is so valuable. Yes. And Father, may we bond to it. May we have fellowship with it and bond to it as never before. I thank you, Father, for calling us out. Calling us the called out ones. But I thank you for the wonderful privilege to bond with you in our fellowship. And so, Heavenly Father, we'll do your word respect this morning because we love you so much. We want to give attention to what you said, and we want to interpret it correctly. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, we're talking about our adversary, Satan. We talked about in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that Jesus himself could not have come out of the grave until we had been justified. Isn't that incredible? That God would justify us. Think about that for a moment. God justified us. How did he justify us? He purchased us completely, once for all. You've been redeemed. But being redeemed, that information is just the beginning for our life. The rest of it has to be walked out through us. And so we've been talking about the adversary and what he's capable of doing. Again, I want to remind you that there was some information that had been spelled out in the Word for you today for June, July, and August. We hadn't really thought too much about it because most of the things that were in it were very powerful. But during the month of August, during the month of July, they had these 5 days in there where it talked about Satan's role and understanding it. Sue and I, we were talking one morning and she started reading me Understanding Satan's Role 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And as she was reading it to me, I was shocked. I guess I've lived a very sheltered life through the mentors I've placed myself under, or I've chose to place myself under. Not all people are careful in who they choose to mentor them. You have to be careful whom you choose to mentor you, because a servant is not above his master. Jesus even said, if there's a ceiling on him, it'll be on you. And so I know how important it is to sit under somebody who can mentor you into truth. It doesn't mean I expect them to be 100% accurate, but at least hit the target. Amen. I mean, if you had a real nice shiny gun, all chromed and beautiful, I meant manufactured by Browning. Oh, my gosh. The elite, you know. And you take it out to the rifle range and you go to shoot at the target, the guy next to you drops. There's something wrong with the gun. Not the target, the gun. So it doesn't matter how good it looks if it's not functioning right. It could be death. And so there were some things that she shared with me that I detected a little bit of anger in Sue, that someone would think that way. And was I right or wrong? And she said, "That isn't right, is it?" I said, "No, it sure isn't." And so he brought out several teachings through those 5 days that literally appalled me. And I began to realize that there's no use making fun of what was said. But how did it get into that kind of perversion? And so the Lord reminded me of Timothy. And so if you will, let's turn to Timothy again, 2 Timothy, if you will. And, or would it be 1 Timothy? I guess it would be 1 Timothy, wouldn't it, John? Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there. And I just want to reiterate something that I've already covered with you. But I want you to get a hold of it. I was sharing it with somebody in our body. I forgot who it was. And they said, "Hey, say that again." And so I said it again. They went, "Wow, I didn't catch what you were saying." So I hope that all of you catch what I'm saying. Notice it says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 4. "Now the Spirit expressly says." The word "expressly" literally is the rendering of "explicitly." Explicitly. In other words, what's being said is explicit. "That the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith." Notice he says the latter times. People, I believe we're living in the latter times. He says they will depart from the faith. And this word "depart" is a very interesting word. It doesn't mean an abrupt turnabout and a deliberate walking away. This word "from depart" from the faith means they will give heed, pay attention to, and little by little slip away from the faith. And it says by giving heed, that word "giving heed" means to pay attention to what somebody is saying, to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And when Sue was sharing with me out of the book what was being said, an anger rose in me, and I said, "Well, I'm going to do away with the book." And Sue said, "Why? There's so much good." And that's the way the devil does. He's cloaked in light. He doesn't come as blatant bottle of poison with the skull and crossbones on it and says, "Drink me." He puts a little drop in something, covers it up. And I sat there and I said, "Lord, how can this be? How can they depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons?" He said, "There's a difference between the two. A deceiving spirit uses your Bible, the Word of God. And he twists it in such a way that he puts a belief to what the Scriptures are saying to move you off course." Have you ever heard of, I've talked to pilots from ministers that we've had in, especially through Rhema. I was talking to one pilot. And I said, "Boy, that big space, that big vast, boy, I mean, how do you keep on course?" He says, "Well, what we do is we dial in, you know, through systems of aircraft. We have our systems that we dial into and we stay on that course." I said, "Well, what if you get 1 degree off?" He says, "Well, your destination ain't going to be the same." He says, "And all I ask, dude, just be a little fraction off." Yeah. And if you're not paying attention, when you think you're headed for Chicago and you end up in Florida, something got miscalculated. And so the Lord was telling me that that teaching that I'm listening to right here, it all came out of the Bible. And he said that teaching is what you call a seducing spirit. It's not called a doctrine of demons. And I said, well, I thought they were the same. He said, no, they're different. A doctrine of demons literally is a teaching that will lead you completely away from God and the Bible. So, if you are a Muslim, I can say that openly. Or if you're a Hindu, or if you believe in reincarnation, these are doctrines of demons. That's where they don't use your Bible to seduce you. They just give you another form of doctrine to mislead you completely away from the truth. Jesus said that there are many ways, but those ways are none but thieves and robbers. I'm the only way to the kingdom of heaven. I'm the only way. And so if Jesus is the only way during our time period, then it would pay for us to pay attention to who Jesus is. Amen? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, when I was reading that material, he literally talked about how Jesus, or God the Father, really linked himself up with the devil and has given the devil several roles. Well, my Bible doesn't teach me that. My Bible tells me that Satan only comes through three roles that he plans, only three of them. He comes not to join God to cause you to grow up and mature by tragedy. What a horrible thought. But literally he comes in a plan to steal from you, to kill, and to destroy you. That's his whole MO. And he is not linked up with God to educate you. Now I'm going to tell you another thing that you have to be careful of. Boy, when I was sharing that with us in our last Rhema, I was shocked the way he said it because so much authority came out of him. He said one lie that Satan has told the church is that God is in control of this world. He couldn't tell you a greater lie than that. So therefore, if God is in control of this world, then whatever happens to you is in God's plan. And that's literally what is taught in that book. And then Satan is one of the tools in God's toolbox to use when you get out of line. And he cloaked it in chastisement. Well, my Bible, I can't find in the New Testament anywhere as well as the Old where God used Satan as a 2x4 to correct anybody. In the Old Testament, those stories are examples. But let me share something with you that will help you, that really helped me. This particular individual said, God is in control of your life and good things will come from the difficulties you are going through right now. Well, then how does being led of the Spirit fit into this scenario? How does it? You know, if you wake up this morning, the first thing that you have a right to is to choose. You have a right to choose. God even said that in the Old Testament. He says, I set before you life and death. Therefore, you choose life. Right. Now, in the Old Testament, a lot of things are in a causative sense. But when you get into the New Testament, things get clearer. Yeah. then you begin to understand the life and nature of God, because God moves on the inside of the spirit of man, and now he's able to reveal God's character and nature in you so that you cannot be taken out unless you give heed to a deceiving spirit. Now, you and I can't be taken out by a doctrine of demons. There isn't one of you in here would. I hope. I know I'm hard on some denominations, especially Mormonism. Probably the most deadly poison that you can drink, because they come in the guise of Christ. You know, it says just before tribulation comes, it says many will come in the form of Christ. We have to be careful. We have to be alert, and we have to be in fellowship with God. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to eliminate a whole lot of confusion as to how God is communicating to us. Okay? How many books of the Bible do we have? Huh? 66 Bibles. 66 books or 66 Bibles? We have more translations than we can shake a fist at. We have 66 books. And out of all 66 books, every one of them are important. But you have to have the Holy Spirit rightly divide the word of truth in those 66 books. Believe me. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, let's go to verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. See, the word of God came through the prophets. It doesn't come through the prophets now. And he says, God, who at various times, this word really means in many parts. Many fragmentary parts. And in different ways, and that word literally means angelic visitations, dreams, visions, through many of the gifts of the Spirit, God communicated with man. But spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days. Where did we hear last days? We heard it over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Hath in these last days spoken to us. Now the translators put by his son, but literally in the Greek it says, has in these last days spoken to us in a son. Which literally means that during our time period, God communicates to us during the dispensation of grace. This time period that God has allotted man to come to Jesus through the cross. This time period, he speaks to us clearly one way, and that's in his son. So that means there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I can clearly say that. Now, notice what he says. In a son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The word worlds there is really ages. It's not cosmos, but ages. It literally meant in times past, in ages, generations. We don't know how many. But we know it was a buku lot. Notice that Jesus had been with the Father from where there was no beginning. Can you imagine that? So I think that Christ was around for a while. But Jesus wasn't. Jesus had to be born into the earth. And how many of you know B.C., A.D.? I always thought B.C. was before Christ and A.D. was after death. Ad Domini. It's funny when we look at our calendars, what an atheist thinks about that. A.D. It's not referring to after his death. A.D. Ad Domini means literally all obscurity had been removed when Jesus was born. That literally means now it was confirmed that God is real because he birthed in the manger Jesus. To exegesis the Father, show plainly to the world what our Heavenly Father is like. Yeah. Thomas, what are you talking about? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. So it's good to see Jesus, but see him not just in a shape or a form, but to see him in his nature and his character. Because that's where the spirit of man emanates the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? So, in during our time period, the best thing for us to do is get a hold of the New Testament to help us understand the old. Not try to understand the New Testament by understanding the old. That's putting the horse before the cart. No. That's putting the cart before the horse. You've got to understand New Testament before you can really understand old. Is this helping you a little bit? You see, when Satan appeared before God in the third heaven, he had a right to do that. Because he had not yet been dethroned from the outer atmosphere of the earth because Adam turned it over to him. And the only time that he is no longer allowed to reign and even enter the third heaven because he would have to be taken out of rule or out of control. Which comes to Daniel's 21-day fast. I started reading a book and he led you to think that fasting is the key to the whole New Testament. Well, if that's the case, then we all ought to be at Slim Jims. And so he started all these churches on 21-day fasts. And he's got the whole church involved. But when I went over and read about Daniel's 21-day fast, I found out it was not God's will to withhold from Daniel 21 days. He wanted to answer God day one. But he said a war broke out. What kind of warfare? Angels against angels. Why? Because Satan's domain in this outer atmosphere belongs to him. Because Adam gave it to him. And so, in order for God to break through into this realm, he had to do warfare. And I thought it was very funny that the warfare that took place in heaven ended up the same results in the earth. Yes, through the nations. So God had to break through and said, I heard you the first day, Daniel. I wanted to come and give it to you the first day. So what are we doing 21 days fasting? Kenneth Hagin said the most he's ever fasted was 3 days. Why? He always got his answer. So I'm declaring before God, God, I'm going to declare before you that you will answer me in 21 days. God's probably sitting up there. Okay, I'll wait 21 days. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to really wanting to wait upon the Lord in a fast, it really fits in the area of your dedication to God. It's all right for you to do that. It's all right for you to say, if it be thy will, concerning you and your personal life. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we had more than 66 books of the Bible, enough to cover everyone's walk? Then we could go into our Strong's Concordance and look up Jan Butler. But we can't do that. And so when it comes down to our personal life and our personal dedication before the Lord, there's where you and I, we have to get before God and say, Lord, if it be your will, this is what I'm looking forward to doing for you in ministry or whatever it is. Right away, I got news for you. Satan's number one goal is to allow you to go ahead and start doing the work of the ministry for God. And as long as you've got your focus more on the ministering before the Lord and not really dedicating yourself to Him completely in mind, body, and soul, Satan knows that and he'll go after you, not to try and take you from Christ because he can't do that, but he can steal your witness from that you've given to your loved ones and your friends and everything. That's what he wants, your witness. Why? So they could turn and say, I thought they knew better. Why did they do that? Why did they depart from the faith? Well, because Satan does a good job of trying to steal even what you do for him. He wants to turn your witness to a sham. Why? To show other people that God is not the ultimate answer for your life. And people, nothing can be further from the truth of those who want to serve God, especially Christians. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for Him calling me to serve you. But I'm not going to serve you out of respect for you. I'm going to serve you out of respect for God. And I'm going to tell you things you might not even want to hear. But at least when I stand before the Lord, that I have to give an account for what I shared with you out of the Word and not my own assumption. Because I know Jesus said, go for the Word. Where is it in the Word? Where is it in the Word? Yep. I'm going to tell you something. Satan, he has many tactics that he can use to get you to believe that you're out of faith. Because he doesn't want you to get a revelation of how justified you've been. The only time that you can begin to destroy your witness before the world is when you start turning backwards. Slide backwards. See, then, in Proverbs it says a backslider will be filled with his own ways. And what will happen is Satan wants that because now he can use you to destroy your testimony that you've given of Christ in your life to others. Now, is there scripture for that? Absolutely. Timothy again. And he talks about those who had given themselves to the Lord and then they were used by the Satan at his will to bring a reproach back. And we got to be careful of that because more than ever, there isn't one person in this building that does not want to not be a good witness of the one they represent. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I would lose my life before I'd give in to a bad witness after serving you as your pastor. Do you know what I mean by that? There isn't any money. There isn't any woman. There isn't any desire or lust that would get me to turn on you. I would be willing to lose my life before I'd ever be a witness contrary to what I'm supposed to be for you. And I'll never let Satan use me that way. Not ever. I think that's found in 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may turn and know the truth. Then the translators, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Actually, in the Greek it says this, that they may return to soberness out of the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him, notice this, to do his will. Now you're going to sit there and tell me that Satan is going to be used by God to cause you to grow up and be strong in him. We must bear in mind that he does have frightful powers. You know, there are some ministers teaching Satan doesn't have power. That's a lie. He has power. But he has no authority to delegate it. He has to assert, through deceiveness, assert someone's authority to use it. But knowing that those can only be exercised, listen, Satan's frightful powers can only be exercised under God's discretion and pleasure, gives us hope. People, that's insanity. Can you imagine sitting there and having tragedy hit your life? That is, you know, this particular individual says that God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep him from pride. This is the most prideful thing that I've ever heard of. To think that you are so valuable that God would assign to slap you alongside the head and a tragedy come into your life so that you can do what? To have hope? People, that isn't even conceivable in the Word of God. Do you know who is to mature and cause you to grow up in him? Nothing to do with the devil. He's called Holy Spirit. You need no man. That's John was talking about a natural man. You don't need a natural man to teach you anything save the Holy Spirit. He's talking about man outside of the church. Not within the church. Listen, he'd rather you be deceived into thinking of him as an independent force with unlimited powers. But he's not. And he'd rather you never read these words, God's Spirit who is in you is greater than the devil. What is he saying? But he's not. And he'd rather you never read these words. What words? He'd rather you be deceived into thinking of him as an independent force with unlimited powers. So what he's saying is he would, in order for us to have any hope of glory, to realize that when those powers of Satan are motivated and exercised in you, or toward you, you can have hope that those powers that are coming against you is approved of, not by just the devil alone, but by God himself. That's what he's saying. Do you want me to read it again? That's what he was saying. He's saying when the ruling powers of Satan come against your life, you've got to realize the only reason they're coming against your life is because God has approved of him to do that to you. I'm sorry I'm getting on my high horse. Ride it. But the sad thing is, many believers believe that. Because they have a tendency to lean toward the ultimate sovereignty of God. Well, in that case, then all power and authority, according to what Jesus said when he came out of the grave, wasn't given to him. It was limited. But Jesus, when he came out of the grave and he went towards his disciples, he said, all hail, all authority. He didn't say all dunamis, all authority had been given to him. It didn't say that Satan was without power. Satan has power. But I'm going to tell you what, the only way that you can meet that power is not because a divine act of God joining forces with him to come on to educate you and develop you. Listen, people, if that was the case, we're all giants in this place. We're all mature, fully developed giants. I want to reiterate some things before I quit. I get too mad. We're doing a teaching called the Fall of the Soul on Wednesday nights. We're covering every aspect of how the soul operates. I've given my whole life to the operation of the term soul, psuche, to the terms mind that you find in your Bible, to the term heart, to the term spirit. I've searched diligently and intently until I heard from the Holy Spirit. And in Proverbs 23:7, when I read that, this was a key thing for my understanding about Scripture. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The word thinks there is the Hebrew word seir, which literally means one who is a gatekeeper. One who literally is in control at the gate. And so he's saying that a man is what he controls at his gate. And that's referring to the mind. What he lets in and what he lets out. The word gate is also used for government structure in Bible. In other words, when you hear the term gate, it's referring to, at many times, government structure. And Jesus in Matthew 16 said, whom do men say they am? And some say you're this and that. But Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, for you are definitely a chip off the old block. And he said, upon this key, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. The word gates there is that same word as a man thinketh in his heart. He's his own gatekeeper. The gate was where everybody met in the city to do everything, even to legislate a trial system. And so he said, Satan's government structure can't come against the child of God who has control of his gate.
That's right.
Now, Satan can travel on our minds. Peter proved that what came out of his mouth shortly after when he said, thou art the Christ. Pity thyself, Lord. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So we know that Satan has a way of lodging thought into us, but he has no way of reading our hearts. And this is where Job comes in. God knew where Job was at because God could read Job's heart. But God also knows that Job dropped the hedge. And he who drops the hedge will get bit. And literally what God was saying to Satan when he approached him, And then Satan went to question. Satan was also operating in the realm of that heavenly realm above the earth. And he'd noticed that Job had taken respect for God, honored God, had the testimony of God. Because one of the chapters says that when Job entered the city, man, everybody melted like butter, so to speak, because he was God's man of the hour. And then when tragedy struck him, everybody went, what did he do against God? Well, the story goes that God gave Satan permission to attack Job. But really what God was saying, I'm surprised you hadn't noticed that he's been in your hand all along. But I know Job's heart, and you cannot have his life. Which means that Job then is responsible for his own life.
Yes, he is.
But he knew he would not lose Job. And according to the history that I've understood, Job's tragedies went on for what was like 8 months or something like that. 8 months, that's a long time. But the rest of his life was blessed for many hundreds of years. So, or 100 years or so after that. So he went through a small time period and he wised up and realized where his adversary was coming from. And it wasn't God sent him. It's just that Job opened the door and Job found out how to close that door. But it's in a man's motor right up here. This was attacked mentally. And now has a mind that is hard to comprehend. They call it a human disease. But I know how Satan got in there. Through a belief system within him. If Satan can convince you that he has access into your heart and mind, he'll take it. But if you refuse to believe that, you'll be okay. You know, I come to a lot of revelation just by praying in the Spirit. And every once in a while this thought comes to me, God has a special place for you because of all the revelation you're coming to. And I recognize that right away. And because I heard this teaching, that if you come to abundance of revelation, Satan will assign the devil after you to take you out. People, I will never buy into that. You know why I receive revelation? Simply because I seek after God. He gives it to me. And because of that, I am better protected. He could assign any devil he wants. But the more light God gives me, the better off I am. I'm not going to believe he can get into my life and take my mind out. He'd like you to think he can take you out mentally. I left the hospital. I forgot who I was visiting. And I drove out the street. How do I get back to the church? I'm sitting there. How do I get back to the church? It was at St. Joe's. I'm sitting, which way do I go? Oh my God. God. Am I getting Alzheimer's? I freaked out. My mind went into a blank. Have you guys ever had that? Oh, thank God I'm not the only one with Alzheimer's. But anyway, the devil sure played on that one. You knew about so-and-so losing his mind. You're on your way. And the more you struggle to find out which road you take, the more freaked out you become. But I had to sit there and I just started praying in tongues. Then it came back to me. Oh. But this thought kept coming back to me for about a week. Couldn't that happen again? Thank God I can remember scripture and remember where I go back in the Bible and everything. Thank you. Thank God I can remember my friends. We'd be talking about movies, you know, different movies we see. And you know that actor, what's his name? And I go, oh my gosh, I forgot his name. What's his name? Oh no, it's starting to worry, you know. Every little slip, man, the enemy is right there. You had it, you know. But I found out I got control of my mind. I do. I have control of my mind. You guys got control of your mind? The enemy has so many ways to come at you to try to get you to think you're on your way out. And to think that you'd have to sit for 21 days to find out his will. He'd have you convinced that there's a warfare going on in heaven just for you. It's crazy. I don't have any more of a greater position with God than you. Nor you over me, or me over you. I'm just serving what God told me to serve. His word. What about sickness and disease? How Satan operates in that area? You get a little ailment, and all of a sudden, you, God, degenerate creepositis in your bones. You start thinking weird things. Then you go to a doctor to try to figure out what's wrong with you, and he goes, "Oh, my, no. This one's really a long-time healer." Satan has a way to try and get you to believe and buy into just everything rather than getting you sound in the Word of God so that you can stand against everything. I'll never forget the first time I went to a doctor because I had a little pain in my side, and they told me, "Oh, that was, what was it called, Sue?" What? Sue, my wife? No, it wasn't my wife. Oh, gas. No, it wasn't gas. It was something in my testines. So I'm out of, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed." "No, you're not." "Yes, I am." "No, you're not." "Yes, I'm healed in the name of Jesus." "You got cancer." "I'm healed in the name of Jesus." "Oh, you're on your way out. Besides, you went to a doctor. If you were really in faith, you wouldn't have gone to a doctor." How many of you ever went to a doctor and he prescribed medication and you took it? And then finally God approached you and said, "You unbelieving, faceless thing, you. You're taking snakes." I had a person accuse me of that one time, taking medication. I was taking the symbol of snakes. What? Yeah. Symbolism of snakes. Pharmaceutical. I thank God for the Word of God. How many of you thank God for the Word of God? Have you ever read Proverbs? How many of you ever read Proverbs out of the Amplified? You know why I like Amplified, the Proverbs out of Amplified? Because Amplified does its best to interpret the proverb according to the original script. A lot of people don't realize it tries to do it in the New Testament, but does a horrible job on the Spirit, the word for Spirit. Everything's a Holy Spirit. But anyway, in the Old Testament, if you read Proverbs out of your Amplified Bible, you'll really enjoy it. In one of the Proverbs, Proverbs 18:9, you might want to turn there. I had discovered this quite a while ago, and John added something to it here just recently, and it helped me to understand that just because you rely upon doctors and prescriptions naturally, it doesn't necessarily mean you've denied the faith. Because some people, medicine will correct an imbalance in the body. You know, I'll never forget years ago when Oral Roberts taught this, and he was a mighty healing evangelist, but he taught that God had joined forces with natural science, and together, the praying hands, together, it's God's way of helping man with natural as well as spiritual things. And so, this particular verse, when it came out, I thought it was really, really great when I read it, especially out of the Amplified, let me get there myself. Proverbs 18:9, it says in the New King James, it says, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. But the Amplified brings it out from this viewpoint. He who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. And so what John added to that, when John was going through that, John wanted to know where I got that scripture because I had mentioned it to him. It says, he who is loose and slack in his work is a brother to him who is a destroyer. And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. Note, this verse so reads in the Septuagint. That's a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Its statement squarely addresses a problem of whether one has a moral right to neglect his body by letting nature in its unhindered course in illness. And so when you have been diagnosed that there are some things that you can do from your doctor, you see, people call doctors liars. They are not. They are not liars. And that hurts their feelings when you say that. They are, all they can do is diagnose symptoms. Give you a diagnosis. But many of them will tell you, you can take this particular medication for this particular symptom and it should correct the balance. And I found that to be true. How many of you found that to be true? But listen, I'm going to tell you something. If medical science is the only means where you rely upon your safety, then you're removing yourself from an area that maybe medical science can't help you. And so you got to be on top of things concerning the Word of God, because some things just cannot be taken care of by natural means. But it's all right to use natural means. You haven't denied the faith. Unless you let the enemy talk you out of, well, you went to a doctor and therefore you're not in faith. Well, what kind of faith are you referring to? There's several meanings to the word faith. There's triumphant faith. There's transcending faith. There's the gift of faith that God will put upon you. But I'm going to tell you something. God told me one day. He said the reason people die before their time is, turn over, I forgot which lady it was in the congregation said this verse meant a lot to her. It was Isaiah 57. Was that right, Isaiah 57? Let's go to Isaiah real quick like. Yeah, Isaiah 57. The righteous perish and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers what the righteous is taken away from evil. That's a good outcome anyway. But notice what he says. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers. Well, considers what? Why was he taken away? Was it God planning on it by joining forces with the devil to take you out so you can really learn something? Well, if you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, literally, you ought to know something by now. Now, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The gates of hell is a government structure of Satan. And so what Satan does is he goes after your mind. And that's where those who are mature, God uses them to pray for you. If you're not mature, that's where intercession comes in, to stand in the gap for somebody that doesn't have that information. I was wondering, why do you have intercessors? You know, it always puzzled me. But it finally dawned on me one day, not everybody is a mature believer. God will assign somebody to pray for you. Well, we'll stop there. We could go on and on. But I'm going to tell you something. It just boils my blood when people allow Satan to pull tactics on the way that they think. And that is his job. Noel, his job is to let any thought come into your thinking without you putting a guard over it. So how many of you wake up every morning? Did you know when you wake up, the first time you wake up in the morning, did you know that's when your thought life is the most unguarded there is? Did you know that? And so Satan or just anything can come right into your mind. And I'm going to tell you how Satan works through your mind. It says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Satan travels on or through noeo. The word noeo means a thought that is unchecked entering the mind. A thought unchecked entering the mind. And that's where Satan gets his advantage over our thinking. Is it because we allow just anything that comes in to then speak to us and we adhere to it? And that's called reasoning. And you are to take a weapon of God, which is the Word of God, the sword of God, and you are to make it obey you. You are to make it come down and dethrone it. Or your natural mind will take you out. I'm going to tell you what. The natural mind cannot stand the dominance of God. And if God gets a hold of it too much, then that person will even want to take his life. He wants to commit, number one, murder. To take his own life. Well, how do you think that's going to be before God? To enter into the presence of God because you committed murder over your own life. I mean, where do you begin and end? You've got to get control of your natural mind. It is not your God. God is your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And your spiritual mind is not to be governed by your natural mind, but be governed by the Word of God. Amen. I've been born again. I'm set free. Well, what makes you so free? I have an understanding of what the devil on my left shoulder says, and I have an understanding of what the Spirit says on my right shoulder. And between those two voices, the Word of God is just like a knife. It cuts down between those two mouth sword, and it just does a fine job at separating one thought life from the other thought life. One is death, one is life. Choose this day, life or death. Choose life that you may live. Woo! I'm a born again child of God. I'm born again child of God. Born again child of God. Better stand up before I lose my before I lose my natural mind. I'm on the verge of it right now. Praise God. Say this with me. Thank you, Father. I'm born again. I know what it means to be a child of God. Love your word. It's a two-edged sword. Piercing and dividing asunder. Between the two mouths. That's what it says in the Greek. Divides asunder. A two-mouth sword. In other words, a voice that can cut either way. The Word of God separates those two. Try doing something contrary to what the Spirit's saying. What happens? You get a warfare. You get a struggle. Because one's against the other. That's why many Christians don't want the struggle. They just want to go where whatever their mind's telling them makes it easier for them. Or we'd be packed out in this place. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for shutting my mouth. So, Father, before we close this service, if there's anybody here that has never said, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and my Savior, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you've been down that road of your natural walk and have found it so unfruitful and unproductive, then you don't have to wait on a lotto system to make life better for you. You can deliberately choose the cross and come to Jesus. No questions asked. And He can give you a new life that you've never known. Father, if there are those here who have once called you Lord and then now are struggling in their walk with you, Father, we can pray with them and help them. Help them to overcome the dictates of the flesh and the adversary. And Father, if there's anybody here that needs healing, we would love to pray with them. Because healing is part of our bread from heaven. Whether it's mental or physical, we can pray for them, Father, for them to be healed. And so with that said, if anybody here wants physical healing, mental healing, they want to restore their walk with you, want to get born again, feel free right now to step out and come up, anybody. We won't do anything to embarrass you or anything like that, but prepare you for what's ahead. You guys ready to go home? No Seahawk game. They already won. With that, you are safe on your trip home. Amen. Say, I am safe on my way home.